Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Thanks for tuning in to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. I am your host, Jerome. Now, on this program, President Obama, Vice President Biden shined, but the First Lady stole the show at the DNC with her speech in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that. Prince's family announced plans for an official tribute concert in October, and the Obama Presidential Library will be built on Chicago's South Side near the university where he taught. We have that and much more news. So I just wanted to make sure I got those in and welcome you onto the show. Oh, by the way, the Alaska Supreme Court did toss the abortion laws, and prosecutors dropped the remaining charges in the Gray case in in Baltimore. And, you know, Massachusetts, they had a protest over the mayor's refusal to remove a Black Lives Matter banner from City Hall. So we have that this week in court and more. But I want to welcome you onto the show and welcome everyone on the line and those in the chat. Welcome to Esprit.net News. Now, you know, on our first news story, I'll say this because, you know, the Mega Millions, I played it when I was in Texas. I want to say hey to everyone in Texas. But I didn't win anything. So the mystery Mega Millions winner came forth. They were in Cambridge City, Indiana, that $536 million jackpot. And the numbers were 8, 19, 20, 55, and 73. The Mega Ball was 5. I didn't even check my ticket, so I'll check and see if I made $2, but yeah, that was it. Now, Prince's family says an official tribute concert honoring who I like to call the soul soundtrack of life. It will take place in October in his hometown of Minneapolis. Prince's family said the concert will be in October 13th at U.S. Bank Stadium. Performers will be announced on a rolling basis, and tickets will go on sale next month. Now, the official statement, the family said, "We are excited for the opportunity to bring everyone together for the official family tribute of Prince's life, music, and legacy. There will be no better place to do it than his hometown of Minneapolis," is what the statement read. They said that we are honored by artists who will pay tribute and are grateful to those who have worked hard to make this celebration possible. So I am going to keep on this news story. So anyone who is deciding to go, and I know there are a couple of people who've already said to me, would I go if it was in Minneapolis, but who knows? It's a direct flight from here, so, you know, maybe. But there you have it. So Prince's family did announce it's not August. It is going to be in October, October 13th, to be exact. Now, President Obama's Presidential Library will be built in a park on Chicago's South Side along the shores of Lake Michigan. It's a short walk from the university where he taught. Now, the Barack Obama Foundation decided to build the library at Jackson Park near the University of Chicago, and the library is expected to be an anchor to the city's South Side to providing jobs to the community along with that struggled with high unemployment and some other things. But the park was selected over the nearby Washington Park, which this Illinois Senate and U.S. Senate and ultimately the White House president, he actually embarked on his political career and taught constitutional law at the University of Chicago. So, you know, hey, he didn't go with Washington Park. He went with another park. What was it? Jackson Park. I almost forgot what the name of the park was. Now, the park was selected, and the university said that the library and the Presidential Center are expected to attract hundreds of thousands of visitors annually, bring jobs and millions of dollars to the area. Now, if you don't know, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, once worked as an administrator and at the University of Chicago's Medical Center as well. So the Obamas still maintain a house that's nearby the private university campus. So just wanted to make sure we put that out there. The Presidential Library is coming to Chicago. Now, First Lady Michelle Obama electrified the crowd at the Democratic National Convention on Monday, heralding the greatness of the nation in a very personal way, noting that because of its progress, she can wake up every morning in the house that slaves built, I know we heard a lot about this, and watch my daughter's two beautiful, intelligent black women playing with their dog on the White House lawn. Now, President Obama was delighted with her words, obviously tweeting, "Incredible speech by an incredible woman. Couldn't be more proud, and our country has been blessed to have her as FLOTUS, as the First Lady of the United States. I love you, Michelle," is what the president wrote. Now, the First Lady said that every day for these past 8 years, she and the president thought about how to protect those two from the unusual life in the spotlight. And she said, you know, how we encourage them to ignore those questions of their father's citizenship and faith. And they explain when someone is cruel and acts like a bully, you don't stoop to their level. Someone who understands that the issues the president faces are not black and white and cannot be boiled down to 140 characters. She also said that in referring to some other nut who's running for president. She also said because when you have the nuclear codes at your fingertips, the military in your command, you cannot make snap decisions. You can't have thin skin or the tendency to lash out. So the First Lady put that out there. She made some statements about Donald Trump. She spoke very highly, of course, of her time being First Lady and the president and supporting the Democratic platform. Now, Vice President Biden also did a great job. And he was played into the Philadelphia convention on stage with the theme of Rocky as he blasted Donald Trump as a danger to working people. He said, think about it. How can there be pleasure in saying you're fired? So, you know, the vice president talked about his 8 years as vice president, his friendship with President Obama, and he said he's become a brother to me and how much he adores the First Lady. He said, I don't know where you are, kid, but you're incredible, when he was talking about Michelle. He also cracked some jokes as well and say that he and the president married up. And at the same time, if you didn't catch this, Vice President Biden said the president is the greatest president that the country has ever said. I don't know why nobody's reporting on that, but the vice president is right. Look at the numbers. The best president, articulate, can write his own speeches, very sharp and smart and funny. You're not going to have another president like that. So here we go. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 323-693-3038. It's just our weekly wrap-up show. I want to say hey to everyone who's on the line and those in the chat. Remember, you can write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com for any questions or comments. And if I don't like them, your comments will be deleted over there. Just thought I'd share. Just to be fair, don't write them. If you're being crazy. I just thought I'd say that. Don't know why. Now, unmoved by Bernie Sanders' plea for party unity behind Hillary Clinton, several hundred Sanders supporters chanted Bernie or bust and took to the streets in the hot sun on Tuesday, this is in Philly, for another round of protest on day two of that Democratic convention. They held a midday rally at City Hall and linked up with others in the afternoon and, you know, talked about police brutality and economic injustice. They all plan to make their way to the convention. And, you know, again, the speakers at the rally charged that Sanders was cheated out of the nomination by Clinton. So since I didn't say this part of the news story, Debbie Wiseman Schultz did resign as the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. They did, with bias, favor Clinton and actually hindered Bernie Sanders from winning. So everything that they're complaining about is true. So stop telling them to stop complaining, because Democrats, you're looking like you're crazy. I just wanted to share that. And that's opposed to, what's her name, Sarah Silverman, who wanted the Bernie people to be quiet. So take a note from the president and the vice president. They have a good grievance, and they're complaining for a reason. So stop telling them to shut up. They can still complain because they have a right to. Now, Bernie Sanders has formed a new organization to support down-ballot candidates nationwide and says that he doesn't plan to raise money for former rival Hillary Clinton. The website says our revolution is not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee, but is the next step for the Bernie movement. So for those people who are supporting Bernie Sanders or supporting the Democrats generally, that is the place that they're going to go to the new website. But, again, Bernie Sanders has formed a new organization. So don't get discouraged. You can still participate. I'm not going to make any comments on the rest of that. Now, in other news other than the regular news, two players who began their careers at opposite ends of the spectrum nearly three decades ago ended up in the same place on Sunday with their names etched into a plaque at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza, the culmination of their long journeys was, you know, tough. And Griffey said that he stood up there humbled and overwhelmed, staring at his family and tens of thousands of fans. He said, "I can't describe how it feels." And the two became a piece of history as they are inducted. But Griffey was the first pick in 1987 in the draft, becoming the highest pick ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. Isn't that interesting? The highest pick in the 1987, their draft, became the first pick, or the highest to ever be inducted into the Hall of Fame. They've been picking a lot of duds, apparently, at the Hall of Fame. Now, on that note, let me go to bring in the commissioner. I don't know how long you had to hand up. You know, hit one on your line if you want to come in. But the commissioner was here, so I want to say hey to Kathleen. Kathleen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just rambling on about the Democratic convention, and I know you are going to probably add a little something because I didn't watch it. You know, I don't really watch the conventions, but I did watch the president's speech, the vice president's speech, and the first lady speech.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
That was my take.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the president knock it Grand Canyon. I can't even call it a park. So he,
right.
He knocked it from Arizona to Alaska. And I felt the same thing that the pundits were reporting about him when he was given that speech. It was while I was ecstatic and just in such admiration as I always am, but there was something a little different about this speech. And I was saying, wow, he's giving his goodbye speech. You know, this feels like his I'm leaving, you know, it's over, done, basically. That's, you can tell he was saying there's more to do. You know his term is not over, but when will
right.
he address another crowd like this live and in living color with everyone watching? So he kind of get, and he said, you know, I'm passing the baton. So it was very powerful, but there was a, you know, there was this feeling like, you know, if I curse, that would be like a OS, you know, like, oh my God, we're in trouble.
Oh, right. The adult is about to leave the room. So I have to tell you, most of the time I totally disagree with political pundits and people on TV, and I kind of disagree with them on this. He was thanking the committee, like the Democratic committee stuff from running the primary. He is a Democrat. He was saying goodbye to them because that's the last time in the convention they supported him, and so he kind of thanked them. When we look at stuff on TV, we think that he's talking to all of us too, like as far as the country at large, because he is president. But I think he was thanking the committee members, the people who were in the trenches actually doing work, people like you who actually did work on his campaigns or his first campaigns and his runs. So I think that was kind of like, you guys did this work for me, and I thank you, and I put in the work for you. Of course it was going to be that kind of speech. Most convention speeches from former presidents, after they're out, they don't usually endorse the next person coming up. They usually just thank the people who helped them. So he's going to probably have way bigger crowds than that. And, again, President Obama is very popular internationally. So I think his popularity is going to go up like crazy once he leaves office. But I think his – and I don't mean that he's not popular now. I just mean that he won't have the shackles of being presidential. And so whether he works for the UN or do something else remains to be seen. But I think that in that speech, he was supposed to address the people who were doing the work. So when you address your campaign workers, you kind of address them like, okay, this is the last time I'm running, good, thanks for looking out. And it was that. So I understand
how you feel, because I feel the same way.
Yes,
and great. Because I was going to say, you know, I totally respect your strategist position, and I appreciate the explanation as well. But I'm just speaking energetically. That's what it felt like to me. Like, oh, my goodness. It was that real recognition that he's really leaving. You know how sometimes you just can't believe something is going to happen, even though you know it's going to happen. You're like, oh, my God, this is really going to happen.
He said it's going to happen. He said, I'm leaving,
really,
and that was different.
Yes.
Yeah,
and remember,
we talked about this before, is that I stopped pretty much watching almost maybe 6 months ago or so this stuff so closely, because I knew that the day that this comes is going to be a sad day in this country. And we are watching two really, really kind of pasty white, like really vanilla candidates up there, and there's going to be no flavor in the White House, and we're not used to that. We've had 8 years of somebody who had a good sense of humor,
who had
good, you know, who could give a speech, who can move us, who had a good sense of humor. We're not going to see all of that in one person. Like, it's just not.
I mean, well, I was
there.
Even watching the stage, you know, at the end, which was really pretty bizarre. You didn't watch it, but at the end,
I watched when he was on. Yes, I watched this.
No. I mean tonight, after Hillary completed her speech, and you know they give the candidate or the nominee now a few minutes alone, and then they're joined by the vice president, and then the spouses, and then the families, and then you know whomsoever will. Gets up there.
Right.
So they did that, and then they started with these outrageous numbers of balloons. Like the balloons, just to the point where you couldn't even see them anymore. There was just way too much happening. But I get it. It was cute. It was nice. It had that whole celebratory flavor and stuff, which was wonderful. It was just like way too many balloons. But anyway, my point was, I was looking at the stage and looking at the stage and looking at the stage, and there was no color up there at all. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hundreds of people now were on the, you know, it started out her, then it was her and
Her committee, her staff, her,
what's his name, Kane.
Kane's people.
Then it was her and Kane and spouses, so Bill and Kane's spouse. Then it was Hurricane spouse's kids. Then Hurricane spouse's kids, grandkids, and then it was a whole slew of people. So now, okay, so with families, you say, okay, well, we're not going to see any. And then finally, in between, and amongst all those balloons, finally, I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's some color. And then I saw that little white wire in the ear. I was like, oh, Secret Service.
Hey, you know, it reminds us back in the days when we would watch, like, The Price is Right, and finally somebody black get picked. We're like, you know,
yes.
Like, we
yes.
didn't have black people on TV
kind
of thing.
And then they lose
so
it
we,
right away.
You were looking.
You know, they hit, yeah, they get the boot on the spinning wheel or whatever. Like, damn, God, you know that. If it wasn't for Steve Harvey and Wayne Brady, nobody would win on game shows. What the
heck? Oh, God, not
but
at all.
But it,
at least
yeah,
they're
but
hosting, I guess. Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah,
it was scary.
It's going to be a different world. It has, left us. And, you know, the irony is, again, I'm an independent, but the irony is of the Democratic Party, I think they take minorities for granted. And I expected, that's why I didn't watch, and I'm sure the ratings probably went down opposed to going up because the president and, you know, the vice president and those guys were there yesterday. But people aren't interested in Hillary. And I think they just need to get over themselves to say that even if the president supports them, nobody's going to love you like that. They may like you, but nobody they love him. Nobody's going to love you. And I think that that is a source of contention for the Clintons anyway. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, the vice president came up and said the best president in history, right? The best president ever is President Obama. I'm sure that kind of gets under everybody else's skin, but his IQ and his Mensa score is probably, he's probably literally the smartest person that's ever been president. So they're going to take that for what it's worth.
And, I mean, I know you're a guy and all that stuff, but he's the smartest, he's the most handsome, he's got the best swagger and the best smile. Just saying.
Okay, you can throw that in there. Yeah,
wife. And the most attractive wife. Right, and probably,
yes.
I don't know, probably the smartest wife.
And his
definitely
kids.
The best speaker. Definitely
the
best
package
speaker.
Is, yeah, the package is really difficult because his kids are, like, we watch them grow
oh
up.
My God.
Really elegant
just
kind
amazing.
Of kids. And
amazing.
And his wife with less move and doing all the stuff that she does and her sense of humor and her ability to deliver speech and address people. No first ladies are like that. We have never had a first lady that
never.
Even is like her. They don't even
never.
Move. Talk about less move campaign. They would not put on not one jumping jack
Beyonce,
wouldn't help them.
Missy
hey,
Elliott
I know. Let alone
singing, you know, it's
alone,
like, come on now.
Yeah, let alone doing like the wobble and you know just getting out dancing.
Right.
No first ladies do that kind of stuff. We have. I can't say that we've been spoiled. I am just kind of glad that we were able to I'm not glad of anything. That's just who they are. That's just how we are. So, hey, everybody else in the world, swagger don't live in you. You know how we say that. that truth
not
ain't in you. Just thought I just said
anymore.
That in it. There you go. There you go. So I'm going to be a little depressed with everybody else, and I'm going to boycott watching any kind of politics after after the president goes. It's going to take me a
you
little
know,
time.
You can't
to get
do
over
that.
It.
You can't do that.
Well,
but I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can.
I get it. I
yeah.
get it.
I'll work
it
out.
I was like, well, my reign is over.
Yeah. No, I'm not done. I'm just going to go on a long vacation. That's all it is. See, just like in news, that was all the political news. If you wouldn't have said that woman's name, I wouldn't even said her name. And I wouldn't have said Trump's name unless the vice president, it was a quote from him. So that's where my we can let regular major mainstream media handle that because they're going to doctor it any way they want to. And we will stir it up, which is going to be our new show that we're going to do soon. And we'll stir it up.
Oh,
right.
Is that the name of it?
Yes, it is. Thank you to Seth Marcel, the artist who has that song, our theme song. We're going to do another show, stir it up, where we're going to talk about some issues. But luckily, it's going to go into the year that the president leaves because we're going to tear up. So we had more political news show. The new show is not going anyplace, but we're going to stir it up as well. So we'll produce
okay,
that.
Okay, so are we going to have the Jamaican version as the theme song? The Bob Marley version, or is there another version when you're talking about?
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll have to use that as a segue. We might have to throw that in there too. But yeah, we're gonna talk about some things.
Okay.
Yeah, and speaking of that, by the way, here's where we're gonna stir it up because my next four news stories. We'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors dropped the remaining charges for the three Baltimore officers that was waiting trial for the death of Freddie Gray. Bringing it into the case without conviction. So stop getting on the prosecutor because the prosecutor said that the police was stalling out that investigation. So it wasn't that they didn't have evidence on them. It was kind of rigged and they were hindering the prosecution or the prosecution of those officers. So just wanted to say that part before I went to this one. Massachusetts police are protesting over their mayor's refusal to remove a Black Lives Matter banner from Somerville City Hall. The mayor, Joseph Curtertone, has declined multiple requests from the city's police officers union to replace the sign with one that says All Lives Matter. The banner has been up for almost a year, but Curtertone said that the city should be able to support both Black Lives Matter movement and the police, and he noted the fact that the city has another banner that hangs above the police station in tribute to officers that lost their lives in Texas and Louisiana. See, I don't know him, but I actually like their mayor. So this is Somerville in Massachusetts, but some people kind of understand that Black Lives Matter is totally separate, and you don't have to always integrate all things that Black people do. Just understand that there's a difference. Now, New York City police officer is under investigation after he was busted posting a series of offensive and racist rants on social media. Now, Detective Gregory Gordon, a NYPD detective with the 121st Precinct on Staten Island, made shocking comments about Muslims and African Americans and singled out Beyonce and Mayor de Blasio and his wife. You know, he literally said that he's 33 years old, by the way, and he said that about the ISIS attacks, that ISIS this and that. I have an answer. 27.2 million U.S. veterans waiting on your goat effing bees. Bring it. And then he said about the mayor's wife, he was asked about the Black Lives Matter or Black people in America facing struggles. He wrote, "Are you effing kidding me? Stop acting like anyone owes you anything. Slavery ended 149 years ago," which it didn't, nut. And he said that the mayor's wife mentioning something about police response or about feeling comfortable. He said, the mayor's wife been able to make public statements? And so he kind of made some negative comment about that. So anyway, that was this nut, Gregory Gordon, NYPD detective. So hence why we have problems with the police. They said he's under investigation. No, not yet. But this just recently happened this week. So I don't know. They have enough information on
his social media account?
I don't know. I don't know what they need to do.
Twitter handle? What are they investigating?
Yeah. They're going to verify through handwriting analysis that is him. And then
that was his Twitter.
Yeah, that's his Twitter. All right.
What is his fingerprints to see if he actually typed the tweet? Oh, boy. Okay, never mind.
I have no clue what their verification is going to be. Yeah, no, I know.
Okay,
now Virginia police officer is on trial for shooting dead an unarmed black 18-year-old. He told witnesses after killing that teenager that this is my second one. So Stephen Rankin's first-degree murder trial in the death of William Chapman II begins this week with preliminary trial motions, which includes whether to allow that comment made by the officer to Walmart employees. They're trying to get that thrown out, by the way, Kathleen. So Rankin, who killed another unarmed man 4 years earlier, was captured by his taser's camera, making that comment to a staff member seconds after he killed the second guy. Oh, this is my second one. But he was fired by Portsmouth's city manager after his indictment. So in Virginia, this guy was fired, but he's now being brought up. His trial is now up. So,
okay.
There we go. So somebody's getting prosecuted. This is Virginia, Portsmouth. Somewhere. Near Portsmouth city manager is who it was. Now, also, while we're in Virginia, a former Fox News correspondent, 55, is arrested in Virginia on rape charges. Orlando Salinas, who spent 12 years reporting for Fox News in Miami, was taken into custody on Tuesday in Virginia after being indicted on charges stemming from an incident that took place in January. There you go. Now, two Maryland students were charged with hazing a fraternity pledge who was 19, who was hospitalized after being forced to eat. Okay, cover your ears, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. Eat cat food and drink a liquid that made him vomit blood. So Alexander Cantor and Evan Cantor of Townsend University in Maryland has been charged with hazing and reckless endangerment stemming from that event. Okay.
What fraternity was that?
Do you know what? They didn't really go into the fraternity, or I didn't jot it down, but I don't remember them saying the fraternity. But I can tell you it wasn't a fraternity of color. Just wanted to say
it wasn't one of the black freaks.
Yeah, not at all. And they were not close, no. Now, music mogul Dr. Dre was handcuffed by police after he allegedly, racially abused by a ranting motorist. Now, here's how this goes. Dre had a run-in with a car that was blocking his driveway at his beachfront mansion in Malibu. So after that dispute, the guy moved his car to let him in his driveway and then cursed out Dre. And then TMZ reported that the driver kept yelling, and so much that Dr. Dre pulls out his cell phone to capture the video, according to Beats Electronics CEO Dr. Dre. A source told TMZ, the man said, "Here we go, another black man with a gun," and then called 911 reporting someone pulled a gun on him. That's when police showed up, cuffed Dre, and patted him down and did not find a gun. He was detained briefly in a patrol car, but they said he was being cooperative, and then they dropped charges. After they found
what
a weapon,
charges?
So
what
he wasn't
charges?
Charged with anything. They said the DA actually investigated for a day, and then he said that no charges will be filed. Now he's at his house. White
at
man blocked
house.
His driveway. Calls police, said black man with a gun, and you need to decide on who you need to charge. Only in America. I just want to say this because that's ridiculous. Like, that is not – I don't even use that word. That's why it sounds funny to me. But that's crazy that somebody would actually – I don't think people know how racist that they are. If the police show up, if a white man does something to me and he calls police saying, "I think he has a gun," and the police overreact and handcuff me when you were black in my driveway, that dude's a billionaire. Like, really? Black people – can you really believe that – the guy who owns the house that you're on his property is pointing a gun at some random white guy who's blocking his driveway? All right.
My mouth is hanging open. That's why I'm silent.
I really don't have. Oh, okay. So get this. Here's my next story. A Texas pastor was caught driving with an expired registration, and he was let off by a state trooper who asked him to pray with him. So Pastor Wendell Davis, who is not black, of Lions Baptist Church, was driving in Lubbock to Dallas on Friday when he was pulled over on Highway 84. And then the policeman was like, oh, you have an expired registration, but I'm going to let you off. And he said, okay, can you pray with me? So he didn't arrest him. He didn't give him a ticket. But they have dash cam footage of him praying with this guy. Dre gets arrested at his own house, and this guy breaks the law, and he gets to pray for the police.
I'm sorry, I can't go there with you. You know,
okay, thank
unite.
You. I thought you was gonna go there. Okay, never mind. All right, so I'll move on.
The black robe code of silence.
Yeah, there's a black code of silence on this one. Oh, we definitely got to use that because that's gonna be your tagline because we're going to have that, you know. There's going to be a black code of silence when people say, speak up. We need you to say something. Now, an English-speaking tourist slaps a Chinese man twice after he allegedly called him a black devil on the subway. Now, a Mandarin-speaking guy had allegedly called this guy a black devil. And, you know, I guess in China, anti-black profanity, that's kind of similar to the N-word. And he was on a subway in China before the black man started slapping him. Now, there's video of this, but he beat him down. So black people are just tired, y'all. Just kind of leave them alone. That's the black code of silence. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing, Kamish. We're already in that. All right, just wanted to say that for the record. You must have put me on mute because I know you put yourself on timeout, didn't you? I can see. I know where the black code of silence has. You put yourself on mute.
It wasn't the black code of silence, but that'll work. I said it was the black robe code of silence.
Oh, the black robe
code
of silence.
Yeah, right. But we could do that one too, the black code of silence.
No, I like the black code of silence. That's when I'm going to be quiet. Now the WNBA rescinded their $5,000 fine that it imposed on three teams that wore Black Lives Matter T-shirts in the wake of the police shootings. Now, New York Liberty, Phoenix Mercury, and the Indiana Fever were all fined, and players on each of those three teams, received an additional $500 fine. So the normal fee for uniform violations is $200, but they fined them $500 for Black Lives Matter T-shirts. And after the next police shooting where the guy was laying on the ground with his hands up and the police shot him, well, then the WNBA said, okay, we're going to take back those fines. Like, I guess they were trying to tell the WNBA, you're complaining about something that never happens, and then somebody gets shot the next week. And so the WNBA
laying
takes back
down
the
on
fine.
The ground with his hands up. I've never even seen that posture before. I was like, what the hell? Excuse me.
I know. I'm like, what made you think of that?
What
like,
that?
I don't
what
know. And you still
I'm
got
laying,
shot.
I'm laying on the ground. Yep. I started crying actually when I saw it. I was just so brokenhearted.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
It's like it was just feel so defeated. He's laying out prostrate, just laying flat out on his back. Right, not prostrate. He's laying flat out on his back, feet spread, hands over his head, like if you were gonna lay down, like you were doing an angel or something. Except he's not. He's not moving, but he has his hands over his head, but not on the ground, up in the air. So you can't make any mistake. I am not moving. And while he's laying there, he's telling them, I'm a therapist. This is my patient. He's autistic. Mm-hmm. That's not a gun. It's a toy truck. I am a therapist. I came to find him. There's no harm here. We have no weapon. I'm not moving.
Hey, I don't know what else you can do. I don't know what else you can do. Like, what can you say if you say, I am a therapist and I have my hands up and you still shoot them, and the policeman says, I don't know why I shot you.
I don't know why I shot you.
Yeah. Okay. Again, if you're gonna be scared, be scared. But you need to get another job. Like, they're not all scared. I think that's kind of an excuse. But okay, I just thought I'd share that. Now, here's a couple of stories. I'm gonna have to run through this because I know Kathleen, this is gonna be a little squeamish. So I'll try to get through this as best I can. Now, Ohio parents were arrested after their toddler daughter overdosed on painkillers twice in 1 week. So Alan and Cassandra Kearns, 33 and 34, of Marion, Ohio, was taken into custody after police were called to the hospital for a report on a toddler that overdosed twice in a week. The child is okay, but they're in jail. Now, Angela Gibbings, this is in Britain, 52, the head of Global Estates at the British Council, reportedly said that about the little Prince George kid. He said that they posted pictures of the child, and she saw the pictures, and she said that she called him a FND bag, right? The baby. Now, here's what happens. This woman makes $120,000 a year from a taxpayer-funded charity, and she said that, you know, when they asked her about her her comments, which she said, royal, rich, and advantage, and would never know the hardships in life, because they're promoting this little kid like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they do have some problems in England. But she said, I'm sound in my socialist, atheist, and Republican opinions. I don't believe that the royal family has any place in a modern democracy, at least of all when they live on public money. That's privilege, and it needs to end. And, you know, she is just kind of making the point is that they're promoting the privileged people. And this woman actually worked for Amnesty International. She's in charge of more than 280 properties in 115 countries and is in charge with a staff of 50. She previously worked for Amnesty International, Friends of the Earth. But I guess people are getting tired. But anyway, just wanted to say that. And she was not a person of color. Wanted to share that for their crowd. And a Missouri man, 68, was charged with, again, having sex with a cow. So Darnell Hinton of Missouri was charged, 68, of unlawful sex with an animal after a woman caught him standing naked behind her cow in a barn. And I wanted to say that really quick to say this story. A girl who was 7 died in a zoo after an elephant hurled a rock at her head while she was having pictures taken in front of the enclosure. So a schoolgirl was struck in the head from a female elephant at the zoo in Morocco. So, again, animals are starting to fight back. Sharks are biting people. People are trying to sleep with animals still. We need to have a conversation, but I need to put that out there because these are real news stories that you're not going to get on national news, so we need to put that out there. And by the way, this Israeli startup has this, what they're calling super meat, they're working to develop a way to grow meat in a lab using tissue samples from chicken with the hopes that real animal meat can one day be produced without harming animals. So let me get this straight. You're going to now start eating chicken that is produced in a test tube. All right, Kathleen, I will let you jump in on this one. I know Kathleen, I'm on mute, so she took the black coat of silence.
Yeah, because I was throwing up.
You know, I had to get the throw up stories out of the way.
I didn't want the whole audience to hear me barfing.
Hey, look,
listen,
I didn't do most of the sexual stories that we have from all of
Thank
that
God.
Stuff. So I had to cut out some of the bad stories.
Well, you know, I am a vegetarian and I eat fish. I just stopped eating chicken just like right now. I used to eat chicken up until this evening. I haven't had any in a long time, but I wasn't like, you know, I was a, what do you call it, a pecto. I eat more fish than chicken. But I stopped eating a whole lot of chicken lately for health reasons. And now that you just said that, I'll never eat another.
Let me tell you, you know they're going to slip that in without telling anybody, right? You realize what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure I said that out loud, because when your chicken say something tastes like chicken, but it's not, they're actually making test tube chicken. And by the way, you know, an Orlando man, 64, was arrested on drug charges after a cop mistaken his Krispy Kreme donut flakes for crystal meth.
What?
This is Orlando. Hey, Krispy Kreme flakes look like crystal meth to police, apparently. All right, there you have it.
They were just
you
know that
they were probably mad that they had
donuts. Exactly.
See, I was gonna go there, but it happened. They had donuts.
Give me that Krispy Kreme.
They actually arrested him because he had.